Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from God the Father, through the Lord Jesus Christ, in the communion of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 245, the stanzas 1 and 3. Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place through all the ages of our race. Before the mountains had their birth, or ever thou hast formed the earth, from everlasting thou art God. And what follows, Psalter 245, the stanzas 1 and 3. The portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in Revelation 2, the verses 18 through 29, and afterwards from the canons of Dort, the first head of doctrine, which speaks of divine predestination, the articles 10 and 11. Revelation 2, beginning with the 18th verse. And unto the angel of the church in Thyatira write, these things saith the Son of God, who hath his eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass. I know thy works, and charity, and service, and faith, and thy patience, and thy works, and the last to be more than the first. And notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which called herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. And I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. And I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he which searcheth the reins and hearts, and I will give unto every one of you according to your works. But unto you I say, and unto the rest in Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine, and which have not known the depths of Satan as they speak, I will put upon you none other burden, but that which ye have already hold fast till I come. And he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the vessels of a potter, as shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father. And I will give him the morning star. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. From the canons of Dort, the first head of doctrine, which speaks of divine predestination, the articles 10 and 11, as you can find it on page 99, and the Psalter. The good pleasure of God is the sole cause of this gracious election, which doth not consist herein, that out of all possible qualities and actions of men, God has chosen some as a condition of salvation, but that he was pleased out of the common mass of sinners to adopt some certain persons as a peculiar people to himself, as it is written, for the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, it was said, namely to Rebekah, the elder shall serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. Romans 9, the verses 11 through 13. And as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. Acts 13, verse 48. Article 11. And as God himself is most wise, unchangeable, omniscient, and omnipotent, so the election made by him can neither be interrupted nor changed, recalled, or annulled, and neither can the elect be cast away, nor their number diminished. Let us try to ask the Lord for his indispensable blessing. A merciful God of the heavens and of the earth, then thou art merciful indeed, when we and our children in this afternoon of this thy holy day of rest, that we may have the privilege, insofar that it is allowed, to come up to thy house to hear what thou hast to say unto us. Then we are still in the precious day of grace and in the day of salvation. Lord, may that truly be a wonder unto us. May it become a wonder, where we are all a people that are lying under the sentence of death, and we may still be in the land of the living. May we not all take it for granted. May we be given to pause in the midst of the family circles, when there are no empty places, and that it may be the goodness of the Lord that leadeth us and our children to repentance. Lord, then by renewal, then we commend all the mourning families unto thee. The family that has been plunged into such deep sorrow yesterday evening, may it please thee in a special way to uphold that young father and that young mother. May they be given to bend their knees and cry unto thee, and that thou may help them. Above all, Lord, may the solemn callings, may they be sanctified, because also the callings of death shall not return void unto thee. It shall accomplish what thou pleaseth. May it be a savor of life unto life, and a savor of death unto death. Lord, we humbly ask thee for a blessing upon thy holy word in this afternoon hour, that the solemn callings accompanied with the preaching of thy holy word, that it may bear fruit in the hearts of many, among the young, the middle-aged, and the elderly. Lord, thou knowest how deeply we have fallen, and it is recorded in thy holy word that thou hast looked down from heaven to see if there were any that sought thee, if there were any that understood. And then thou was written that there were none, that they have all gone astray. But, O Lord, now thou art still seeking out a church, and thou hast promised to do it by word and by spirit. And therefore we humbly beg of thee that thou may work lovingly and irresistibly in the hearts of young and old. Oh, when thou sheddest thy love abroad, then we become a missing people, and then we become a seeker, and then we learn that we are such a sinner that cannot save himself, a sinner only that becomes greater, and a sinner that needs a Savior to be saved. Lord, may there such souls have come up when that is still all missing. Oh, work it in this hour. Wilt thou spare us that we deceive not our poor souls? And wilt thou remember thy children, lead them further in the ways of salvation? And may it please thee to impress the solemnity, the shortness, the reality, the seriousness of life upon all our hearts. We have experienced it as a congregation in these past weeks, that the old must die and that the very young can die. Lord, remember consistory and congregation. Wilt thou grant more and more the spirit of prayer and of supplication, those exercises for the coming of thy kingdom and for the glory of thy name. Wilt thou remember thy church all over the earth, all those that labor in thy vineyard. Remember thy servants in a special way, those that are old and those that are weak, but they all need thy help. Wilt thou remember the students, the student that may speak an edifying word. Wilt thou grant thy gracious help also in this day. Remember those that bring thy word to heathen nations, and also to people where there is a certain knowledge, but where it is very little or very distorted and very deceived. Remember our mission field. Wilt thou bless thy word. We commend unto thee the beloved for the Father's sake. May that veil be taken away. Wilt thou uphold the persecuted church? Remember all those that bring thy word to the ends of the earth. Wilt thou remember the many temporal needs amongst us and our children? Wilt thou remember all the mourning ones? Remember our elderly ones? Remember our care home, where there is also a mourning family there. Remember the residents, and remember those that may lovingly care for them. May the callings of death be sanctified. Remember the elderly ones where the infirmities are increasing. Remember the sick and afflicted, him with that dreaded disease. Hitherto thou wast wonderfully watched over him. Remember the crosses, remember the burdens. Remember the family circles. I remember prodigal sons and prodigal daughters. And now, Lord, in this afternoon hour, then we humbly ask of Thee for Thy gracious help. May it please Thee to open Thy precious word. Wilt Thou open our mouth, and wilt Thou open our hearts. Oh, it is all Thy work. We are so dependent upon Thee. We are but poor sinners. That has the breath and each heartbeat that is given by Thee. And when Thou withholdest Thy hand for a single moment, then we are ushered into eternity. Wilt Thou remember the hearers, all those that may come up to Thy house? Go then from bench to bench and from heart to heart. And those that may listen along in their dwellings, take away everything that could be a hindrance. May it please Thee to bind the devil fast, oh Lord. May it please Thee under all Thy speaking. The prophet of old has said, what more could have I done to my vineyard that I have not done unto it? Then Thou wert speaking over the whole earth, and the last week speaking in the midst of us with special callings. May they be taken to heart, because otherwise it shall all rise up against us in the day of judgment. Lord, wilt Thou arouse to a holy jealousy concerning the blessed things of the promised land, with the realization that Thy service, that it is a good service. We have nothing to plead upon. Our sins, they are great, and they are manifold. Oh, we take so much for granted. When week after week, when our family circles, when they may still all be present in the land of the living, and also in the congregation one after another week, that none have been taken away, but in the past weeks it has been so different. Forgive us of all of our sins, in Jesus' name, amen. Psalter 31, the first four stanzas. Lord, hear the right, regard my cry, my prayer from lips sincere. Ascend Thy approval from on high, my righteousness make clear. Thou in the night my heart hast tried, nor found it turned from Thee aside. Psalter 31, the first four stanzas. in this afternoon hour, with the help of the Lord. And then we wish to ask your attention for the portion of Scripture we have read together, Revelation 2, the verses 18 through 29. And we shall read the verses 18, 19, and 20. And unto the angel of the church in Thyatira write, these things saith the Son of God, who hath his eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass. I know thy works, and charity, and service, and faith, and thy patience, and thy works, and the last to be more than the first. And notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. Our text words speak the letter to Thyatira, the profitable church with a tolerated false prophetess. With four thoughts, in the first place, the serving church. In the second place, the seduced church. In the third place, the threatened church. And in the fourth place, the dominion promised to the church. The letter to Thyatira, the profitable church, with a tolerated false prophetess. The serving church, the seduced church, the threatened church, and the dominion promised to the church. Beloved congregation, in this afternoon, then we may consider the fourth letter to the churches. There's the middle letter, and it is the longest letter. Then our boys and girls, then you can remember, maybe you have looked it up on a map, where those churches were. Then the first letter was to the church of Ephesus. The second, a little north, that was to the church of Smyrna. Then the third, further north yet, to the church of Pergamos. And now in this afternoon, then we are called upon to go about 27 miles southeast to a place called Thyatira. That city was located in a valley, and it was on the road to Pergamos, which we have heard was the capital of Minor Asia. And now this city of Thyatira, they tell us, was a city of much trade, much commerce. When we think of Acts 16, when Paul was called with that Macedonian man, come over and help us. And then on the Sabbath day, then in Philippi, then by the riverside, there were a few women where prayer was wont to be made. And then it has pleased the Lord to open the heart of Lydia, that she attended to the things spoken by Paul. And then in those verses it is written that she was a seller of purple of Thyatira. There are some that think, but we have no proof thereof, that Lydia was used to bring the gospel to this city. On the other hand, when the Lord converts us, and when we may be given to taste of the good things of the Lord, and when a sinner may experience that they can be saved and are saved through the mediatorial work of Jesus Christ, when we learn what a terrible thing it is to be unconverted, traveling on that broadway to a never-ending eternity, then it shall be our desire that all people are converted. An old father has stated in former years, at least in his days, that there were very few single conversions. That when the Lord would convert one, that they would be used, not all as office bearers, mothers in the home, brothers and sister, and we could multiply it out, that we are used. No, we cannot convert one, but the Lord uses means. And now in that city, where there was much trade and much commerce, it has pleased the Lord to establish a church. That was the work of the Holy Spirit, because it seemed to be a city that has prospered outwardly. And then how necessary it is, in the busyness of life, the admonishment to Martha, which we read in Luke 10, "Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful." And Christ, in his Sermon on the Mount, in Matthew 6, verse 33, "But seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness, and all other things shall be added unto you." Oh, in that city of Thyatira, the gospel was preached. And then there was a people wrought upon by the Holy Spirit, that in the midst of the busyness of life, that they were given to understand, oh, what shall it profit a soul, as I read in Matthew 16, verse 26, when we gain the whole world and lose our never-dying soul. Then they tell us that in this city, that also the Son was worshipped. And now concerning this congregation, there are very wonderful things written concerning that church. In this letter, then the address, the beginning, "These things saith the Son of God." The only letter that is addressed with those words. And then we read of a few of the attributes of the Son of God, who hath his eyes like unto a flame of fire. That points to the omniscience of the Lord, that the Lord sees everything, even in the darkest place of the earth. There is no ceiling, no wall that we can hide from the Lord. the psalmist has spoken thereof in Psalm 139. And that is a comfort for the true child of God, but that is a tear for the wicked. What is that to us young and old, that the Lord sees everything, nothing hidden, even the secret recesses of our heart? And then also, those Anna's feet are like fine brass. That refers to the description also each time with the introduction of these letters to the churches. Then an attribute is taken from what John has seen in Revelation 1, the verses 12 through 16. And there it is written of burning brass. That speaks of the providential dealings of the Lord, and that the Lord is just and right. And then we read that in that church of Thyatira, that Christ is given to commend that church, because we read something very remarkable in the midst of that church. I know thy works, that we read in each of the letters, and now those works are described. And charity, that church had a heart full of love. They were given, that church has experienced. It was all a gift from heaven, merited by Christ, given by the Holy Spirit. The church learns that they are so dependent upon the Lord, but they were given to exercise that love exceedingly, to love God above all with all their heart and with all their strength and with all their mind and with all their soul. If we had now met those souls in that congregation, and we would have asked him about these matters, then perhaps the tears would have rolled, because the closer that the child of God may live at the throne of grace, the more exercised they may be, the more they are given to see that they fall so far short. The closer to the Lord, an impression of his attributes, that gives an impression that we are sinful creatures of the dust. And nevertheless, what a privilege. It was not what a neighbor has said, what other people have said, but it are the words of the ascended Christ. And service, that is a fruit of that love. When that love is an exercise, so it is a natural life. When we love someone, then we try to please them. Then we try to make them happy. Then we are willing to sacrifice, Christ has said in Matthew 16, verse 24. If any man will come after me, let him take up his cross and follow me and deny himself. Then as a fruit of that love, because undoubtedly we hope to hear the circumstances in that city of Thyatira, that it was not so easy to walk according to the word of God, that there would be suffering, that there would be want. But what a blessing it was in that congregation, that the difficulties and wants, that they have bound a remnant of that congregation closer together, and that they were given to serve the ones that were richer, that they were unable to be a raven to help the poor ones, the family circles, to be like a Dorcas, as we read in Acts 9. Thy charity and service and faith, thus Christ is given to commend that church, at least a remnant, concerning their faith. Oh, so oftentimes think of the Sermon on the Mount. Then Christ has said unto his disciples in Matthew 6, O ye of little faith, and after a storm where is thy faith? Oh, the church has to confess that they can bring forth nothing from themselves, but that God is honoring unbelief. Oh, the church of God, they have not so many stones to throw at those 10 spies. How often for the church that they are called upon to examine their faith, whether it is that true saving faith, but what an encouragement. Oh, that church of Thyatira, then we can understand it when that letter was read, the Apostle John, who had been banished on the island of Patmos, then even the little boys and the little girls, they have tried to understand it. They have asked father and mother when they went home from church what John has all said unto them, and now they were commended because of their faith wrought by the Holy Spirit in the work of a triune God. And faith, and thy patient, that proves that there were tribulations in this church. We read in these chapters, 10 days of tribulations, Christ has spoken to his disciples in John 15, verse 20, they have persecuted me, they shall also persecute you. And now under that persecution, oh, then the church shall learn that of self, that they have not that patience, but now Christ is given to declare to that church, I know thy patience. Do we not read in Romans 5, the verses 3, 4, and 5, and not only this, but tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. And now when we read those things, oh, how great that Christ could speak to that church. Oh, how often that the Lord must say to his people, little love, little faith, little patience, languishing service, but above all those things, then we even read something greater and something more remarkable. Have you heard it, congregation, when we read it? Were there souls that thought how wonderful that is, what Christ has written of a remnant in that church of Thyatira, because Christ has declared, and the last to be more than the first. We have heard from the church of Ephesus that they have left their first love. But now in this church, they have not left their first love. Oh, that time when everything is so tender, when that love is so an exercise, Oh, when it may be experienced, what we read in Psalm 69, verse 9, the zeal of thy house has eaten me up. When they are willing to sacrifice all, when there is that dependent life, how often they receive answers upon prayer, how often in God's house, then they may glean upon the field of Boaz. It is true, in that beginning time, then their knowledge is not great. But oh, that love, that zeal, and that childlike faith, it is true, have to be led further in the mysteries of salvation. But alas, then most of the time, then it starts to wax less and less. How many people of God, when they think back to that first time, the holy jealousy, and that they have to say not concerning their knowledge, but concerning that close life and that tenderness and concerning sin. If you want to know what sin is, ask a soul where the Lord has begun with that tender life. But now for the church of Pergamos, there was a people in the midst. They have not said it themselves, not their neighbor, but Christ, that their last works were greater than the first. We have heard it out of the Heidelberg Catechism, that expression more and more, also found in the Bible a few times. And that was now experienced. There was a remnant in that church of Thyatira that was given to increase more and more. Our second thought, the seduced church, notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee. And that word thee, that is the whole congregation of Thyatira. Because even in the midst of that church, where there was yet a people where everything lies so tender, oh, a people that was given to weep, because when it is tender, and when we may be exercised with the glory of God and the coming of His kingdom, then we are given to weep over the sins of our fellow man. Do we not read in Psalm 119, verse 136, rivers of waters run down my eye, because they keep not thy law. And now what has taken place in that blessed church? I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. In the church of Pergamos, then we have heard of the name of Balaam, and how he has also enticed the children of Israel to sin. And now in this letter to Thyatira, then there is mentioned Jezebel, and we know who Jezebel was. She was a heathen woman, and Ahab, the king of Israel, has married her, and she has come to live in Israel, but she was given to seduce, because it seems that Ahab, that he was a puppet of Jezebel, And then a Jezebel loved her idol worship of Baal. And then we read that temples were built of 450 priests of Baal, of 400 of Ashtaroth, and that she has enticed the children of Israel to worship Baal. That's the male deity, and Ashtaroth, that is the female deity. And with that worship, there was much sin against the seventh commandment, immorality, immodesty. We know that Jezebel, that is the woman that has painted herself, not satisfied with the way that the Lord has made her. And that is what we read in this chapter, in this letter, that there was a woman and that she has called herself a prophetess. Thus she has come in the way of religion. It seems like she had special gifts and special talents. Of course, she belonged in the home, because at least if she had children, but alas, it seemed with her gifts that she could speak very fluently, and that in the way of religion, that she has brought in a very strange, a very deceitful, a very sinful religion, because she has even seduced my servants. She has made such an impression with her speaking that she has even seduced different ones to go along with her, to commit fornication, and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. We have said that the city of Thyatira, that was a city of much trade and much commerce, and then it is thought that those different trades, they had different guilds and different organizations, that those people, those potters, that they would have an organization of potters, that they would discuss their trade, and then to be a successful tradesman in that trade, then it would be profitable that you would gather with them. But then it is implied in this letter that in those trade gatherings that there was much sin, that they have committed fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. And then we can understand that for the church, those tradespeople, then decisions had to be made. If you would not join those organizations and be present at their meetings, then it would perhaps be very difficult to do trade, that you would be shunned, that many would not want your goods. Perhaps there were those in the congregation that they said, we only make one step. We attend the gatherings, but then when it becomes too wicked, then we leave. But it seems like there have been those, and that under the teaching of Jezebel, that we cannot be too separate from the world, that we are in this world, we must not be hermits, and we must not be too strict, that a Jezebel has taught that we can have a certain Christian liberty, and so she has seduced many, that they have went to those gatherings, and when we are present, and then to say no, and where to stop is not always so easy, and that they have fallen into great sin. That is what this letter speaks of. Oh, those that have lived as a separate people, therefore we read of the patience of that church, that remnant, because when their latter works were greater than the first, Oh, then it is so tender. And then we have a desire that we are a separate people and that the Spirit is not grieved. Oh, when it becomes quiet, how troubled that people can be. Nevertheless, in the congregation, there were many that were seduced. And now in that church, then it is very clear that she was tolerated, that she was not put under church discipline, that she was not excommunicated. Our third thought, the threatened church, but let us first sing. Psalter 220, the stanzas 3, 4, and 5. A place for thy people thou, Lord, didst prepare. Thy vine deeply rooted rewarded thy care. Its branches like cedars, majestic and free, spread over the mountain from river to sea. And what follows? 220, 3, 4, and 5. the letter to Thyatira, the profitable church with a tolerated false prophetess, the serving church, the seduced church, and now the threatened church. And then we read, and I gave her space to repent of her fornication. Thus that means that there was still a warning voice, that they did not let Jezebel go unwarned. In that respect, the Lord has yet been long-suffering unto her. Then we read, and I gave her space to repent. That is that precious day of grace, that word space. That is the time that we and our children may still occupy. Then the Lord grants us that space, that we may be given to repent, turn unto the Lord, be converted, and washed and cleansed in the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. A congregation, that space shall not be forever. The Lord has set that appointed time. As I read in Job 14, verse 4, and that appointed time we cannot pass. It is a privilege when the Lord holds on to us, that he does not let us go the way of Jezebel, to provoke the Lord and to grieve those that love the walls of Zion well. And now the Lord was so long-suffering for a Jezebel that he has not immediately come with his judgments, but given us space to repent. Thus that implies that those messengers have come. Oh, that it may be begged her not to continue on that sinful way, because the end shall be so evil. And the Lord looks with those piercing eyes, and I read in Numbers 32, verse 23, be sure that your sin shall find you out. And, oh, that end, that is an end of the long-suffering of the Lord. We read in Romans 2, verse 4, or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and long-suffering and forbearance, not knowing that the goodness of the Lord leadeth to repentance. Oh, may it please the Lord to work lovingly and irresistibly in the midst of us and our children, that in that space that there may be a rich and a large ingathering. But what has Jezebel done? Then it is written four words. Another end. First end, I gave her space to repent of her fornication. And in an answer to that end of the merciful long-suffering of the Lord, then the answer is, and she repented not. Oh, what an awful judgment under the warnings, and then to only harden our heart, to continue in the way of sin. But the long-suffering of the Lord shall come to an end. And then Christ has declared, oh, then he still had a favor to that church, that he would speak to her in a special way, also in the way of his judgments. The greatest judgment is when the Lord holds himself so silent, and when under the goodness and under the callings of the Lord, that we continue on our way, and that we come not as a poor sinner at the throne of grace, repenting and begging for his mercy, and then a special judgment. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation. We read in Ecclesiastes 9, verse 2, that there is one event to the wicked and to the righteous. But now in the church of Pergamos, then the Lord would make a clear separation with Jezebel and all those that have followed, that have agreed, because that worship of Baal, that is such a pleasing worship, then we can serve a God and we can serve the lust of the flesh. Thus, that is a religion that our flesh likes, but it cannot be. And then they would be cast into a bed. Upon those beds, they have committed much sin, and she would be cast into a bed, onto a bed of suffering and tribulation. Sometimes the Lord in his justice, then there is much similarity between our sin and between the punishment, and not only in the life of the unconverted, but in the life of the child of God. Then many times the Lord is free, but then his chastisement, that is according to their sin. Think of Father Jacob. He has deceived his old father, it is true. Oh, such a desire and such a need for the blessing. But now to receive that blessing in the way of the Lord, then he has deceived his father. And then later in his life, then how Jacob was deceived, received a Leah instead of a Rachel, was deceived by his sons. Thus cast, and I will cast her into great tribulation. Except, oh, do you hear? The long-suffering, the merciful long-suffering of the Lord. That after that proclamation, that declaration of the great judgments which the Lord would send, then the Lord is saying, oh, Jezebel, then I repeat it. Except they repent of their deeds, and I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he which searcheth the reins and hearts, and I will give unto every one of you according to your works. Thus, that it would be spoken about in the churches, such clear judgments of the Lord upon a portion of that congregation of Thyatira. Our forethought, the dominion promised to the church. And then we read, but unto you I say, and unto the rest in Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine, and which have not known the depths of Satan. Thus, in this church, then Christ is making a clear separation between a people whose latter works were greater than the first. Ah, that church has learned that it all comes from above, that it all flows forth from the meritorial work of Christ Jesus, that he has merited those benefits, and that church in this congregation has learned, kept by the power of God. Ah, that church learns that the Lord must continue to hold on to them. But now we read concerning those that may hold fast, and then by renewal, he that overcometh and keepeth my works to the end. Then a special promise, to him will I give power over the nations. How can that be? That church undoubtedly persecuted those that did not go along with the sins of that city, the tradespeople, many difficulties, maybe many families, many boys and girls that they have spoken in those families, the scarcity, although there was much charity, undoubtedly the ravens have flown. How is it now possible that Christ promises to that remnant, to that church in Thyatira, that they would have power over the nations? There are different commentators that believe that this already points to the time in the year 312 and 313 when Constantine the Great, when he has conquered Rome, and when the Roman Empire, when the church received a freedom of religion, but it is also that the church may rule by their prayers. What a power there is in true and upright and given prayer. What wonders that we read in the Bible concerning the answering of prayers. Oh, they are given to rule by their instruction and by their example. But the commentators also believe that this promise, that it refers to the great day of judgment, and where Paul has written that the saints shall also judge the world, that means that they shall be in perfect agreement with a rod of iron. That means through Christ, of whom it is written in Matthew 28, verse 18, verse 19, all power is given unto me in heaven and upon earth, and concerning that rule, and he shall rule them. So that speaks of Christ, the King of the church, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. As the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers. Oh, in that congregation, then the boys and girls, when they have heard it of pottery, then sometime when there was a jar that was marred, that was no good, then it was broken into many pieces. Thus even the children could understand it, that for those that refused to bow under the authority of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, that would be their portion. Then they would be broken as a potter's vessel into many pieces. And finally, oh, the precious promises for the church, than Christ to encourage that remnant, because that remnant can become so discouraged when they look within, when they look without. Oh, may the church be given to look upwards unto the King, who is all power in heaven and upon earth, but in the promise, "And I will give him the morning star." We read of that morning star in Revelation 22, verse 16. "I am the root and offspring of David, and the bright and morning star." That, boys and girls, that morning star is the Lord Jesus Christ in all his beauty, with all his blessings. And when do we now see a morning star? That is in the morning after a dark night. And so for the church, it is true here below. There are many trials and many tribulations, but now Christ promises this church, "Oh, that was willing to suffer, I will give them the morning star." That is a star above all others, and that refers to our text for the further leadings in the life of a child of God. Oh, in that morning star, there lies everything for the church of God. He is their prophet to instruct. He is that priest that atones, that thanking and praying high priest. He is the King that rules over all. Oh, he is that faithful Savior that shall never forsake the work of his own hands. The letter to the church of Pergamos, and then with each letter, then we would do well that we would turn in unto ourself. Is it I, personally, family, and church? Then we have heard precious things concerning that church of Thyatira. Oh, a people that was so busy with the things of the Lord, that tender and close life, a people that has been led further. But we have also heard that there were grave concerns, a teaching of that Jezebel, that we can serve the Lord and that we can also serve the world, a halting upon two opinions, as in the time of Elijah. Oh, so it was in the days of King Ahab and also of his wife Jezebel. He that hath ears to hear, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Amen. Let us close. Lord, then we have heard that there were many good and precious things in the church of Thyatira, that there was a people with a close and with a tender life, but that there were also grave concerns, and thou wast yet warned and called to repent. Lord, wilt thou remember us as a congregation? May the number that fear thee, may that greatly be multiplied among our children, among our youth, the middle-aged and the elderly ones. Lord, then we live in a world with so many temptations. May it please thee to help and to keep us. Wilt thou grant that repentance? Watch over us in the furtherance of this day. Wilt thou grant traveling mercies upon the unsafe roads and may it please thee to gather us by renewal around thy word in this evening hour. Wilt thou pardon us of all of our sins in Jesus' name. Amen. Our closing Psalter, Psalter 194, the first four stanzas, his wide dominion shall extend from sea to utmost sea, and unto earth's remotest bounds his peaceful rule shall be. And what follows, 194, the first four stanzas. Receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.